I saw some new polling data this past week that surprised me. It said that most people believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Lifeway Research does an annual state of theology poll, and at the end of 2020, they polled over 3,000 adults across the United States and asked them, believers and unbelievers, if they agreed with this statement. Here's the statement. Biblical accounts of the physical, that is bodily, resurrection of Jesus are completely accurate. 66%, that's two-thirds of all Americans, said they agree with that statement. That surprised me. I also saw a poll last week that said now, and I assume by when they said now, it means that this is ever since polling has been done on this, for the first time, less than half of Americans say they attend church regularly. In the last couple of years, regularly has been redefined to mean once or twice a month. And add that to the fact now, half those people say they aren't doing that. So as COVID-19 restrictions begin to lift, and 91% of previously attending church attenders say, yes, I'm going to be back there, or they already are back there, more than 50% of our nation doesn't even claim that they're going to attend church once a month or any more than that. And still nearly half of those people that say they won't be attending church say they believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead like it says in the Gospels. And I'm looking at that a little wondering, what does that mean? Either a lot of people are lying, or there are many people who just don't see how the fact of Jesus' resurrection changes anything in their lives. It raises this important question. Does the resurrection of Jesus change your situation? Unless it does, Jesus may as well still be dead, because he is to you dead. This morning, the question that we probably need to answer most carefully, I think, is not whether or not Jesus rose from the dead. He did. It seems to me most people believe that. The question we probably need to be dealing with more carefully is, what difference does it make? What in your life is different because Jesus rose from the dead? Start to wrestle with that question, would you? I'm going to go out on a limb this morning, and I'm going to suggest that you're not here because you need to be convinced that Jesus is alive. Chances are really strong you already believe that. Maybe you've got some questions. Maybe you've got some doubts. But I'm going to guess that the more important issue that we really need as a group to think through this morning is the thing that you really want to be convinced of is, how does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead change your situation? We've been going through the book of Acts together. To help myself be ready for this morning, Resurrection Sunday, I studied through the whole book and I tagged all of the places that I could find any mention at all of the resurrection of Jesus. I wanted to see, how did that affect the early church from its very beginning? And what I found was what gave me also the title for this message, that the resurrection is what made the church tick. God had foretold it through the prophets. Peter is preaching and he quotes David from Psalm 16. He says, David foresaw the resurrection of the Christ. Paul is preaching in Antioch. He quotes Isaiah. He says, Acts 13:34, as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David. So Paul is looking back at Isaiah 55. Talking about the resurrection. The apostles made the resurrection of Jesus the focus of their message over and over. They kept saying this same thing, that God raised him from the dead and we are witnesses to this. Over and over, that message became a point of controversy. It became the place, the dividing line, where either people were convinced that, yes, Jesus truly is the Son of God, or else at that point it sent them packing. But the apostles didn't change their message. They didn't back down. They kept at it until every last one of them paid for it with his life, save John. They hadn't always been that way. These were the same men who ran away when Jesus was arrested. These are the men who were in a locked safe house right after Jesus' crucifixion. But this fact that Jesus rose from the dead transformed these men from being scared, cowering little children to bold lions who refused to be intimidated, who refused to back down in any way from declaring the message, all because they knew that Jesus was alive. Nothing else explains the change in their lives. And looking through the book of Acts and what they did makes me ask this question. What has the resurrection of Jesus caused me to do up to this point in my life? What has the resurrection of Jesus caused you to do up to this point in your life? Because we really believe it's real. We do, don't we? If we're going to say that it's true, if we're going to call a particular Sunday Resurrection Sunday, if we're going to celebrate like it matters, then there must be something about ourselves that is different because of it. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, we owe the world an apology. And we should quietly acquiesce the significance of this day to the Easter Bunny and to chocolate eggs. But we can't do that. You can't do that when somebody claims to be the Son of God, when he tells you how you ought to live life, and he tells you that he's going to be killed and he's going to rise from the dead, and then he does it. When somebody does that, you don't just celebrate it. You don't just cheer about it. You don't just make it into an excuse for a holiday. You listen to what he says. You know exactly what I'm talking about, because this is stuck in our faces, in our culture, every day of the year. Here's this singer. She has this many songs that have made it to the top of the charts. So you should listen to what she has to say about human rights. Here's this actor, and he's starred in this many award-winning movies. So you should listen to what he has to say about gun control or fracking. Here's this athlete, and he's been in this many Super Bowls, so you should listen to what he has to say about wearing a mask. Here's this actress, and she's been in this sitcom for so many years, so you should listen to what she has to say about animal rights and global warming. Forgive my skepticism of their expertise, but what does a singing career, an acting career, and a sports career have to do with being an authoritative voice about anything other than singing, acting, and sports? But what if somebody comes along whose very birth is a miracle? Someone who speaks with confounding wisdom to his time. Someone who heals the sick and casts out demons, who with his voice controls the wind and the waves, and then that one is killed and rises from the dead. When that one says, I should listen to what he has to say about life and how life should look and how it should be lived, I'm going to listen to him. What does life outside of the empty tomb look like? How does the resurrection of Jesus from the dead affect my situation? Or if this is still new to you this morning, how does that have potential to change your situation in life? I'm glad you asked that. I find myself going back over and over to the single chapter of the Bible that has more to say about the resurrection than any other chapter of the Bible. And I'd like you to get your Bibles out if you've got them with you here today, and turn to that chapter. And if you already knew that I was talking about 1 Corinthians 15, good for you. That's great. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let me tell you, this morning, if you had forgotten that or if you didn't know that, get your Bible open to 1 Corinthians 15. And would you grab a pen where you're at? Get a pen. And right now, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, write something like the resurrection chapter, all right? Something like that, so that next time you'll remember that. You'll be reminded of it, all right? We're going to read this morning from 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, with the time that we have left, I want to have you revisit those lines where Paul says, if Christ has not been raised. Think about that. Paul is writing to people to whom the resurrection of Jesus meant everything. It is what made the church tick. Take that fact, the resurrection, out of the church. What would it have looked like? And that's what Paul talks about here. Those people are living with their lives focused on the outside of an empty tomb. So I want us to take those lines this morning and see how the resurrection of Jesus changes our situation. Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. You know what that means? It means that since Christ has been raised, that the message that the church has for today's world is relevant and powerful. Do you believe it? I'll ask you later. It effects change. What we have poured into this Sunday is important and worthy. And if this morning you're thinking, you know, Sherm, every time I hear you preach, you're either talking about Jesus being raised from the dead or Jesus being born. Now, if you think that, don't admit it out loud this morning. But second, yes, we are telling the same resurrection story that we told a year ago. We were online only, but the same story. Church, we don't need a new message. We don't need to question if the resurrection of Jesus is worth repeating. Like Paul said about the message in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Our message is not in vain. Paul went on to say that if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is in vain. He says, your faith is futile. That means that since Christ is raised, your faith in Christ is valuable. Your pursuit of this faith relationship with Jesus is worth your time. It's worth your devotion. It is worth your energy. It is worth your emotions poured into it. In fact, of everything in life that is that you can pour yourself into, everything that you can spend your life on, this is the most valuable thing. When I get to the end of my life, I want to be able to look back on my life and say about it, yes, I spent it on what matters the most. I spent it on the thing that is most valuable. How about you? If Christ has not been raised, Paul says, we're misrepresenting God. that means that since Christ has been raised, that God has never lied. And this is one more reason that we can trust him. I can rightly believe that God is true. I can rightly believe that God will do what he says. And when I go to tell someone else about God, when I go to speak about him, all I have to do is point people to what he has said about himself and say, there it is. It's still true. The ones who deny the resurrection of Jesus, they're the ones who are misrepresenting God. If Christ has not been raised, Paul said, then you are still in your sins. Do you hear what that says? That means that if Christ has been raised, you can be forgiven of your sin. Since Christ has been raised, you can be forgiven of your sin. We so often think of the cross as the way that we are forgiven, and that is true. But the cross story isn't complete without the resurrection. Take away the death of Jesus, you're still in your sins. Take away the resurrection of Jesus, Paul says, and you're still in your sins. It's a package deal. Those go together. You who have been baptized into Christ, Paul said in Romans 6, you have been buried with Christ in the likeness of his death. And he says, you have been raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Those go together. You are banking your eternity on that. If you've accepted Jesus, and if you haven't yet, then you're gambling your eternity on an empty hope. But you don't have to, because you can be forgiven of your sins. Clean slate, new person, new start, from death to life, just as surely as Jesus rose from the grave. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. That means that since Christ has been raised, people who have died in Christ are alive. Resurrection Sunday is a reminder to every believer that our life outside of the empty tomb is focused on real life. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Really? Wait, what about all those people who died that believed in Jesus? What about all those people of our church family who believed in Jesus and who in this past year died? Look again. Paul says, the words he uses, they have fallen asleep in Christ. Not that they have perished. They have moved from here to be swallowed up, not by death, but by life. Just like Jesus came out of a tomb never to be touched by death again. Every person who has breathed their last here has gone on to judgment. And for every one of those whose life has been secured through faith in Jesus Christ, they are more alive than they have ever been. Do you believe it? Listen, believers in Jesus, for your grief over a loved one who has fallen asleep in Christ, today is a wonderful reminder to you that life conquered death. Christ has been raised. Paul said, if Christ has not been raised, then we are of all people most to be pitied. That means since Christ has been raised, we are in Christ most blessed. We're not to be pitied. Those who have given their lives in the name of Jesus over the centuries, as well as those who this very day are doing the same, overwhelmingly have made it clear as we read their stories, as we hear about their sacrifice for the Lord, that we're not to pity them. It's true that if we didn't have hope beyond this life, everything difficult about following Jesus would be just another part of a mountain of reasons for us to be a pitiable bunch of people. And it would make sense for the community of Rockford to circle our building and point to Central Christian Church on the inside and say, you people are pitiable, pathetic. Fact is, Jesus is alive. He ascended, and he promised to be with us to the end of time, promising to return, promising that he was building a place for us, promising that we could be where he is forever. Sounds like a pretty good ending to me. Jesus is alive. And if you belong to him, then you live like Jesus is the one true Lord. You live like there is hope beyond this messed up world. You live like there's nothing more important to this life than knowing Jesus and pleasing him. You live like you can't die, because according to Jesus, you won't. Today, at the end of this Easter message, if I've done my calculations correctly, if I've figured this out correctly, if you believe that Jesus truly did rise from the dead, right now then you should be in one of two places. Either you are in Christ and today you are thinking about this and you are recalling his resurrection and it stirs up inside of you a renewed sense of hope and fervor and dedication to serve the risen King, or you are not yet in Christ and believing that he rose, you are asking yourself, how can I say that I believe this about Jesus and then not follow through with what he says? Here's what he said in Matthew 28. It's really what the church is all about in the world today. Having gone, he tells his followers, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's the marching orders from Jesus for his followers, the one who conquered death, who proved it by rising from death. And if you're ready to finally do something about that this morning, because you haven't, then we want to encourage you to do that. If you're over here, if you're that person who really does believe the evidence, who really does believe Jesus rose from the dead, then there's something for you to do. How is it going to change your situation in life today? Or maybe you've been a follower of Christ and you're taking some inventory and you're looking at yourself saying, you know what, it isn't evident enough. I really do believe this, but it needs to affect my situation in life. Even though Jesus is Lord in here, hasn't always been the way it should be here. Maybe today is a good day to step forward in front of God and say, I'm going to make some changes that need to be made. If you're here wanting to be a follower of Christ and you have never made that choice, then this is a time that we want to encourage you, challenge you to make that decision. What better day? What better day to be united with Christ in the likeness of his death and then raised up in the likeness of his resurrection and to start life new than here today. Our worship team is going to come. We're going to have a song here at the end. I'm still going to be here after we dismiss today. And if you're wanting to pursue this relationship with Christ, if you're wondering, what are my next steps? What are the things I need to do? Please get with me, talk to me, but please don't put this off anymore. Let's stand together. Let's pray as we get ready for our time of decision today. Father, we stand before you just having one more time looked into your word in different ways, Father, inwardly, outwardly, acknowledging again we understand and we believe the reality of a risen Savior and a risen Lord. Father, forgive us, please, when we have acted as though that doesn't change anything, because when we take stock, when we step back and think about it, it changes everything. So today, with that reassurance that the Lord is risen, we step forward. Help us to take your word now. Let it do its work in our thinking, in our hearts, in our actions. Father, for some today that need to move from death to life, who need to embrace this salvation through Christ, I pray this would be the day. And we ask these things In Jesus' name, amen.